We begin the Karan Davim Saktsiva Mesdaf Kuf Yod. We begin on the bottom of Kuf Tesmah Beis, three lines up at the bottom of Yamad, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous stuff. And that is, the Gemara was discussing Rabbi Gamliel's opinion in our Mishnah, where there was three way machlekes, what to do in the case of when two brothers are married to two sisters. One brother is married to a minor sister, meaning under the age of 12. Another one's married to an adult one. Now, the brother who is married to the adult sister dies without any children. Now, his wife falls for yibum to his brother. But his brother is married to the Yavama's sister. Now, generally, you would say that she's pater from yibum chalitza because she's a chalitza, she's an erva. However, here his marriage to the minor sister is only rabbinic. Yet the zika is biblical. So what do you do? So Rabbi Gamliel's opinion was that if she wants to do miyun, she could do miyun, meaning the minor wife, thus undoing her marriage to her husband. So then her husband could go ahead and do yibum to the sister that's a gedayla, because it's like he was never married to her younger sister. However, he says she doesn't have to. Rather, she can wait until she becomes an adult, and then the sister that's falling for yibum will be removed from the whole parsha of yibum chalitza, because by default, she'll now be achos ishtei of his wife, because now she's an adult, and hence their marriage is biblical, and therefore he doesn't have to do yibum chalitza with the other sister. Now, the Gemara had asked a question in defining what's the principle behind Gamliel's opinion. Is it because we say that rabbinic marriage that he has with his minor wife is hanging in the balance, and that it gets activated biblically once she becomes an adult retroactively, thus saying that she was always his biblical wife, again retroactively, and therefore there was never a zika from the sister because it was a chais ishtei? Or do we say, as ultimately Rav ended up saying, that no, of course that first marriage has no biblical standing whatsoever, and even when she becomes an adult, that doesn't retroactively become activated. Rather, what Gamliel was proposing was that when she becomes an adult, and then the husband has be with her, which that is for the purposes of Kiddushin, then it's like any Yavama, where if someone goes and is Mekadesh, the sister of the Yavama, by being Mekadesh her, the Yavama now becomes a Chais Ishtei, and that rejects and nullifies that Zika, and that's why she gets removed from Yibum Chalitza, but not because it's the activation of the original Kiddushin Drabbanan that was with the minor. Now, on that the Gemara asks, B'Sava Rav Ibal In, Eloi Baloi, is that really true, the way we just explained that Rav holds, as he had answered regarding defining Gamliel's opinion, that it's only if she, when she becomes an adult, she has cohabitation, she has bia, that will then make her mukudeshes to her husband who she was rabbinically married up until now, thus rejecting the Yavama from Yib Mechalitza. But if there's no bia, even if she's an adult, that's not activating, now that she's an adult, on a biblical level, her previous Kedushin, as Rav had said. And therefore, it's only if that they'll have bia will reject the sister from Yavama. But if not, that won't be enough. Which obviously we see that, again, there's no kedushin just by becoming an adult. But that the Gemara has, but we learned as follows. Regarding a case of Ketana Shloi Miena, a minor wife that didn't end up rejecting her husband through Mien, and Vigdila, and now she became an adult. V'amda V'nissus, now she's an adult. And then, guess what? She goes ahead and marries someone else. So Rav Amar Einet Tzricha Get Mishani. Rav says she doesn't need a get from this second man. Ushmul Amet Tzricha Get Mishani. Shmuel says this, that she went and married someone else, she needs a get from this second man. Now, the Gemara continues at the top of Kov Yudim Aleph. Now, my love, wouldn't it make sense that what we're talking about is Deloy Bal? Meaning that the first husband that she was married to as a minor, who she never did mean to, now she's finally an adult, that we're talking about that she doesn't need a get from the second person, which means to say why? Because it's like a regular ashes ish that if she's married someone else, you don't need a get. You're married. That kedushin is not typhus. Now, why? Because although she never had bia, because it doesn't say that in the case regarding this that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about, that she had bia after she became an adult. No, she just became an adult. And just by becoming an adult, that makes her original kedushin that she had as a minor activated on the biblical level. And we see even without bia. So that seems to contradict Rav himself. Here it seems that Rav says just by becoming an adult, if she marries someone else, doesn't have any halachic significance, although that's a biblical marriage. But here she's also biblically married. So an Eishes Ish cannot get married to someone else. So we see that even without Bia, she is considered. So we see that it is an activation of the rabbinic marriage that she had as a minor, and not the way Rav had interpreted in the other context of explaining Gamliel's opinion, that no, you have to have Bia to make a new Kedushin, but just becoming an adult does not activate. I think Moses says, no, it's not a contradiction, because the Baal, Here, Rav is talking about that she already had bia with her previous husband after she became an adult, and that's why she doesn't need a get from the second man, because the bia that she had after she became an adult, generally that intention is, since we know that it was only rabbinic marriage up until now, so the first bia they have after she becomes an adult is for the intention of kedushin, because he knows that previous kedushin was nothing. So that's why she doesn't need a get from the second man. But of course, if she didn't have bia with him yet, then she would need a get from the second man because she was only rabbinically married, and that's a biblical marriage which could take effect by going out and marrying the second man. Now the Gemara asks on this answer, Eid the Baal, if it's talking about that she already had bia with her first husband after she became an adult, so my time is Shmuel. How do we understand Shmuel? If we're talking about she had bia as an adult, so there, that's obviously a kedushin. One of the three reasons to be mekadesh isha is through bia, and she's an adult, so she's an eishes ish. An eishes ish that quote gets married to a second man, you don't need a get from that man because you're married. A married woman can't get married to someone else. So why does Shmuel say that she needs a get from that second man? So the Gemara explains that ksavar Shmuel holds kol haboyel, any person, any man that's having bia, Jistam, without attributing it to what it's for, Aldas Kedushin Harishen Mubayel. Any married man, when he has bia, it's based on his original marriage. They say, I got married and I therefore have bia. Now, however, in this context, the original Kedushin that he had until it's saying that he's saying this should be Kedushin, a new Kedushin, was from a rabbinic marriage. And therefore, even if she's an adult, she could be 13, 14, 15, until he designates a new Kedushin, it's being based on the original Kedushin that he had, and that's on rabbinic marriage. And that's why the second marriage to this second man could be Chal, and that's why you need a get from that second man. The Gemara asks, if that's the interpretation of Machlekes Rav and Shmuel in this statement, but this is something they already argued about once before, because the Itmar we learned regarding a different halacha. Kichal Tanai. If a man makes a kedushin, gets engaged to a woman based on a stipulation, that let's say that she doesn't have any vows, or that there's no blemishes, but the ukenasistam, but then when he gets married to her, when he does nisuin, so then he does it, even if he later finds that she had nedarim, he doesn't say anything about the conditions that he made, and he goes ahead and he gets married to her. So Rav ametzricha menu get, so Rav says that if she would want to leave this man, she would need a get. Shmuel says she would not need a get to leave from this man, that they're not really married, as the Gemara explains. Rav says she would need a get, that means to say that she is married, even though there were conditions in the Kedushin which were not fulfilled, because Kivin the Nasva, because once he goes ahead anyway and he goes through the second stage, that of marriage, that obviously he forgave, he looked away from the conditions that he had stipulated regarding the Kedushin. And what that means is that the reason why you need a get is because the bia that he ultimately had, which consummated the relationship, that of Nisuin, obviously was also to have Kedushin. That's one of the three ways of being Mikadosh Isha, is through bia. In other words, that's a new Kedushin, because he knows that his first Kedushin is nothing, as he said, because he had stipulations, conditions attached to it, and those conditions were never fulfilled. So that wasn't a valid Kedushin, but yet he's going ahead and doing Nisuin. You can't do Nisuin without Kedushin. So obviously, what's happening is that when he's doing Bia, not only is he going ahead and consummating the relationship, but he's also doing that for the intention of Kedushin. So therefore, she's a full-fledged married woman, because it's not being based on the original Kedushin, because he knows that's nothing. That's why she would need a get if she would want to leave him. Shmuel says, no, she wouldn't need a get to leave him. They're not married. And the reason is, as seemingly it's the same thing Shmuel is saying in our context, because whenever a man has bia, it's being based on his original kedushin. Now, his original kedushin was based on conditions, and those conditions were never fulfilled. So it's just an act of his nus bi'alma. It's not a consummation of the relationship. It's not nisuin, because it has to come after kedushin, and there was no kedushin. And therefore, it's nothing, and that's why Shmuel says that you wouldn't need a get to leave. It's like there was never marriage. Now, the question is, this seems to be the same exact thing that they say over here in this context regarding the case of the katana. So what's the difference between the two cases that we have to repeat it the same achleikas two times? I think says tzricha. It's necessary. Di'it marhahi. Had we only said the case over there, which was when the kedushin was al tanai with conditions, we would say bahi kamarab. Over there, Rav says that, and the reason is Mishum de'ika tana. There, Rav says that you would need a get, and that is to say that it is a new process, not being based on the original Kedushin, because there were conditions attached. Now, but keeping the Baal, and if he's still going ahead and having Bia, wait a second, you made conditions, and they're not fulfilled, yet you're still going ahead and having Bia. Obviously, Achol Tanoi, obviously he gave up, he already forgave on those conditions, and therefore, obviously, what he's doing is a new Kiddushin when he's doing this act of Bia. But regarding the case of the Ketano, where there's no conditions, maybe they would say that he would agree. There's no obvious that you gave up on your original Kiddushin. There it's obvious because you made conditions, they're not fulfilled, and yet still you're going ahead and doing Bia. Obviously, that you're doing a new Kiddushin, you gave up on that one. But here, we would say that, no, maybe he would agree to Shmuel that we go Al Das Kiddushin Harishonim, and therefore, he would say that it would not be the same. And he would say that maybe regarding the case of the Ketana, it would be based on original Kiddushin, and that therefore he would agree to the same principle that Shmuel says over here. Now, V'yitmar Bahoan, had we only said the case of a Ketana, B'hach Karmar Shmuel, maybe only over there does Shmuel say that it's going to be based on Kiddushin Harishonim. And this is, as we had said regarding Shmuel, that you're going to need a get from the second person when she goes and marries someone else, because although they had Bia, again, it was based on the original Kiddushin. But by the case of Tanai, maybe he would agree to Rav over there, because what's going on over here? He made conditions, they're not fulfilled, and yet still he's consummated relationship. Obviously, it's because he gave up on that, and he's doing a new Kiddushin. So therefore, Tricha, that's why it was necessary to say both cases, because or else we would think that it's only by one that each one would say their opinion, but by the other one they would agree to the other opinion. That's why we need to have both contexts, again, both over here by the case of Ketana, that even when she becomes an adult, that they still have the machlokes, is it based on Kiddushin Rishonim, or is that first B, when she becomes an adult, a new Kiddushin? And the same thing regarding the case of Kidshal Tanai, is it that we say that when the Tanai is not fulfilled and yet still he goes out with Bia, is that a new Kiddushin, or is that no, it's still Adas Kiddushin Rishonim, and therefore that would not require get because, again, that's not a valid Kiddushin. Now, the way we interpreted the Gemara was based on our text in our Gemara, the way Taisa explains. Actually, Rashi brings down an opposite version of the Tzricha, so why we needed both Machlekes in. The Rashi's Girsa is, which is based on the Girsa in the Masechtas Ksubas and the Gimel and Aleph, that actually it said that the other way around. Had we only had the case over here in our Gemara of Ketana, only over there Rav would say because there's no conditions. As Rashi explained, because had we only said the case of the Ketana, that she didn't do Mian, and then she became an adult, and then they had Bia, maybe only a Vadir Rav says that because he realizes that his Bia that he's having now when she's an adult should be for the purpose of Kiddushin. Because there's no conditions as regarding the other case. Now, there's no invalidation of there's no problematic entities in the first Kiddushin as it was by the case of Tanai. Rather, it's because she was a minor, which is okay when she's a minor. But a person knows that the first Kiddushin is nothing. So he goes ahead and he goes ahead and makes a new Kiddushin. But by the other case, that of Tanai, we would say that he would agree to Shmuel because he wants his conditions fulfilled that he made. There's a reason why he attached conditions to those Kiddushin. And he thinks that she doesn't have Nedarim. And he still wants that Tanai. And therefore, he's still doing the Bia based on those Tanayim. So therefore, maybe he would agree to Shmuel that it would be Adas Kiddushin Rishayim. And that's why we need that one. And the Gemara there explains why it would be the same in the other way, why we need both according to Shmuel. But either way, the Gemara says that that's the understanding of this machlokes, and again, therefore, it doesn't contradict what Rav had said. That is, Rav had said that it's only in the way we explained Reb Gamliel's opinion that only if they have Bia when she becomes an adult, that will go ahead and create a biblical marriage. But without Bia, just by becoming an adult, will not retroactively activate the rabbinic kedushin, and it's not a contradiction again from that statement of Rav, where we said that you need to get from the Shana, because that's talking about a case where she was Baal and then was married another man, and that's why it's already a biblical marriage and doesn't need a get. But the Gemara continues asking on this statement of Rav in the previous daf. Umiyama Rav, is it really true that Rav said Ibal in that only if when the minor who's married to her husband as an orphan then becomes an adult, only becomes biblically married when there's Bia, but Eloi Baal Loi, but if there's no Bia, then not? But vahi uvdu dehava benerish. But there was a certain incident that happened in the place Neresh. Vakdisha kshiketana, again, which was a woman that was engaged when she was a minor. Vigidla, and then she became an adult. So she wasn't married yet, she was engaged. But she became an adult. Vaisvi abe kursai. Now they had placed her on what's called this apirion. It's a type of a vehicle that transports her to the chuppah. Now the assumption of the Gemara is, as regular chuppasah, where if you didn't have chuppah yet, you didn't have biyah yet. Yet in spite of that, so although she's an adult, but she didn't have biyah yet, but v'asach rina v'chatuminei, on her way to a chuppah, another man came and grabbed her away and married her. Now, v'rav b'rayna v'rav chananel, tamidi d'rav havasam, now the two students of Rav were there, v'lo yitzichu gita mibastra, and they didn't even require a get from that other man, they just went and gave her back to the first man. Now, obviously, we see that the first one's kedushin is biblically activated, because if it's only rabbinic, then the second one's marriage will be chal midarais, and you would at least require a get. And they didn't require a get. And yet still, she was only on her way to the chuppah, so obviously she didn't have bi yet. So that seemingly contradicts what we're saying from Rav in the previous daf, that it's only if she has bia, but if not, here we see that even though there wasn't a bia, she is considered biblically married. So I think my answer is no. Amar Papa, he says, Benerish, in the town of Nerish, Minsiv Nesivi, they would first get married, and hence, if you're married, so that bia that she's having now that she's an adult is a biblical valid kedushin. And then v'hadir meitzvah be'krasai, and only then would they place her on that period and then bring her to the chuppah. So there was not a contradiction to Rav. It's actually talking about that she already had bia, and that's why the second man grabbing her away had no halachic standing, because she was already biblically married to that first man. Vashem, he says, actually, the way we had assumed, which is normally the case that if you're in the period and you're on your way to the chuppah, there was no biyat. But it's still not a contradiction, because although generally we would say that she is only rabbinically married, but who also shalaika hagen? This second person obviously did something that was inappropriate. She's on her way to the chuppah to one husband, and then he grabs her away. Lafikach also by shalaika hagen, and therefore they also did something inappropriate to him. Therefore, the Rabbanan revoked his kedushin. Although halachically it is a kedushin, which is biblical, because the rabbinic one will not be able to withstand a biblical one that's coming on top of that. But the rabbis have it within their authority to revoke his marriage. And the reason is because whoever makes kedushin, although it has biblical standing, it hinges on the chachamim, the sages' acquiescence to that. Because that's actually the terminology we use in the kedushin, that we say it should be kedas moshe v'yisrael. Now, the Rabbanan said that whoever grabs away a woman on the way to her husband should not be a kedushin, and that's why you don't need a get. But you're right, if not for the fact that it was inappropriate, then obviously the second one's marriage would be chal, because she was only rabbinically married, because there wasn't any biya. Now, that the Gemara asks, Amar Ravina Rav Ashi, he says, well, teinach the kadosh b'kas, but what you just said makes sense when the kedushin was with money, meaning the second man's kedushin was with money, you could say that Rabbanan said, the money that you gave for kedushin, we're removing that status, and we'll make the money like a gift that you were giving her, because that's within the domain of Bezin, to say Hefker, Bezin, Hefker, they could declare ownless the money, and they say that, no, it's a gift, and it's not kedushin, because you're defining your kedushin based on their acquiescence. But Kaddish B'Biyamai, what are you going to say if the second man had done the Kedushin with cohabitation? What type of Hefker, Bezin, Hefker does it apply over there? What can they say that this is not what it is? It is what it is. It's a Biyah, which is a Kedushin. How can they change its status? What status would they change it into? Not the Gemara says, that's not a problem either. Shavu Rabban, Libilos, Abilas Nus. The rabbis will say the Biyah that he had was not a Biyah of Kedushin. It was a Biyah of his Nus. Totally an illicit relationship. And that is, as we explained before, because whoever is doing kedushin, whether it's money or whether it's bia, is doing it with the kavana that Bezdin, that the Chum agree to it, and they don't agree to it, and therefore they said, this is not kedushin, it's just an act of znos bi'alma. Now, the Gemara concludes this discussion from our mission on the previous daf, that Amar Behuda Amar Shmuel, halacha k'rebel yaza, halacha is like k'rebel yaza, where there was a three machlekes, what happens in the case of two brothers married to two sisters, and the one who had married the adult sister dies, and she falls for yibim to the one who had married the minor sister. He said that we teach the minor wife to do miyun, because we have a biblical mitzvah over here of yibum, which is not being removed because of Achais Ishtai, because his wife was only rabbinically married to him, so that cannot remove the zika of the adult sister. So to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum, we say that the minor wife should do miyun, thus as if he was never married to her, and therefore he could do Yibum to the adult sister. And b'chinam Rebbe Lazar, so too does Rebbe Lazar say, halacha k'Rebbe Eliezer, halacha is like Rebbe Eliezer of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara continues again on the theme of the Mishnahis of this parak regarding the halachas of Yibum in the context when it relates to when the wife is a minor. So the Mishnah says, Misha hayinasu l'shtei yisaimus. If there was one man that was married to two orphans, obviously not sisters, because you can't marry two sisters. We're talking about two orphans that are not related, that were ketanis, that are minors. Umeis, and then he dies. So the halacha is biyasa oy chalitzasa. So the bia, or the chalitza, as Rashi explains, that has to be after that she becomes an adult, because chalitza cannot be done to a minor. But the bia or the chalitza, shal achas mehem, of either one of them, peteres sarasa, will exempt the co-wife. And that is because they both have the same status of marriage, whether it's rabbinic or biblical, they have the same status, and therefore, again, one, as in the regular case of Yibim, where if you do Yibim or Chalitza to one of them, it will exempt the co-wife. And the Chesh Dei Cherisha, same thing applies to two deaf mutes, where they're also, the marriage of both of them are rabbinic, and therefore, either one that you do Yibim or Chalitza to has the same status as the co-wife, will exempt the co-wife. However, Ketana V'Chareshes, although both of them are rabbinic, but they're different types of rabbinic marriages. And therefore, we don't know which one he really considered more his wife than the other one. Which one did he prefer more? The minor or the deaf mute? And therefore, in bias achas men pater sarasa, therefore, the bia of one of them cannot exempt the co-wife, because maybe one's status as a wife is higher than the other, although they're both rabbinic, and therefore, by doing bia to one, will not exempt the other one. If let's say one wife is one that has all her faculties complete, and the other one is a deaf mute. So when the Yavam does Bias HaPekachas, if he does Bia, if he does Yibam with the Pekachas, so then Pateres HaChareshes, because Pekachas is a biblical marriage, most definitely will exempt the Chareshes who is just rabbinically married. But Ve'im Bias HaChareshes, Pateres HaPekachas, but doing Yibam with the deaf mute, which is only rabbinic, will not exempt the Pekachas who she has a biblical marriage, and therefore biblically we don't see it as if you're doing Yibam to one of the co-wives to exempt the other one, because the Chareshes is only rabbinic, and therefore that will not exempt the Pekachas. Similarly, Gedoyla Ketana, if he's married to an adult and a minor, so Bias HaGedoyla Pateres HaKetana, doing Yibam with the adult, which that's obviously fulfilling the mitzvah even biblically, that will exempt the Ketana who's even just a rabbinic marriage. But the Bias HaKetana Pateres HaGedoyla, the Bia of the minor, will not exempt the adult, again, because biblically we don't see it as if you fulfilled Yibum, because that's only rabbinic wife, and the adult wife didn't have Yibum or Chalitza. Now the Gemara asks, based on what we see from one of the halachas of our Mishnah, that the Mishnah said, V'chein shtei cherishes. The Mishnah said that also if there's two wives that are both deaf-mute, so then biyasa or chalitzasa of one of them will exempt the other one, just like if both of them are minors who have rabbinic marriage, so too if both of them are chareshes. So the Gemara asks, chareshes bas chalitzahi? Is a chareshes even a woman that can get chalitza to say that if one of them gets chalitza, that will exempt the other chareshes? But vatanan, we learned in the Mishnah of Kovdala Mebeis that said, cheresh shenechlatz. If the yavam is a cheresh, that he's having chalitza done with him, or the woman that's doing chalitza, she's a deaf mute. Or if a chalitza is not cotton, or if chalitza is being done with a yavam that's a minor, the Mishnah said chalitza sabsula, that's an invalid chalitza. So we see that a chareshes cannot do chalitza. So how does our Mishnah say, just like the case of two yosemites ketanis, that bia or chalitza, one of them will exempt the other one, so to b'shtei chareshes, but a chareshes can't even do chalitza, let alone exempt her fellow co-wife, the chareshes? So Amar Rav Gidla Marav, he says, you're right, Abia. When we say the same thing applies to two chereshes, two deaf mutes, it means to say only in the context of Bia. Meaning regarding the two Yisaimis Ketanis, the two minor orphans, there we said either Bia or Chalitza of one will exempt the other. When we say the same thing applies to the two deaf mute women, we mean to say that one will exempt the other when you do Yibam, when you do Bia with one of them, that will exempt the other one because they're equivalent in their status. But you're right, it wasn't going on the case of Chalitzas because you can't even do Chalitza to say that one will exempt the other one. However, the Gemara continues, Rav Amar, and some have the gears of Rav Amar, he says, Afil Tema Chalitza. You could even say, as the Stam of our Mishnah seems to indicate, that the case of V'chein Shtei Charoshes is going back on both cases, that we compare it to the case of the Yisemis Ketanis, that whether it's Biasa or Chalitzasa of one of them, since they're both the equivalent in a rabbinic type of a marriage, one will exempt the other one, and it's not even on Bia, but it's even on the case of Chalitza. Then you have the contradiction of the Mishnah of Kavdal, which seems to indicate that a Chareshes cannot do Chalitza. And that Rabbi answers, it depends. Kan b'Chareshes mi'ikara. Here in our Mishnah, which again, as we're explaining, it seems to show that a chareshes could do chalitza. It's talking about that she was always a chareshes before she ever got into any relationship. Khan, over here in the Mishnah, Daf Kuf Dalet, is talking about b'bikachas v'achkach nischarsha, that originally she was had all her faculties intact, and only later did she become a chareshes. As the Gemara explains, chareshes mi'ikara, regarding the case of our Mishnah, where she was always a chareshes, always a deaf mute, then we say the following svar, the following logic. We say, ki heicha da'al, just like she came into the marriage of the first husband, who, how did he marry her? She's deaf and mute. Must have been biramiza, with some type of illusion, some type of a sign language. So hachinofek, so that's how she leaves, the same way she came in, that's how she leaves. In other words, that's how she leaves from the yavam, meaning with chalitza, how do you do chalitza? Didn't we say chalitza requires some type of a kriya, which is how we explained on the Mishnah of Kaf Dalet, you have to recite certain sukkim, and the chareshes can't do that. But that's only, as the Gemara will shortly explain, by the case of when she originally was pekachas. But here, her marriage, as it was on the rabbinic level, which is because she's a chareshes. And moreover, just like how the Rabbanan says she can get married in spite of her limitations, that's exactly how she can go out, is with the same limitations. That's the rabbinic protocol. However, pikachas v'achach nischarsha, but regarding the case in the Mishnah of Kof Dali, where she was originally a pikachas, fully competent. Then later on, she became a chareshes, but her marriage is on the biblical level because she was a pikachas. She was in the full capacity when she was getting married. There, Loi, there you're right. The Mishnah says that chareshes cannot do chalitza because the me'akva bo kriya. Because, as we explained over there, you have to have somebody, although you don't have to actually recite it, b'di'evet, but you have to be able to recite it. And the chareshes cannot fulfill va'amra. And therefore, that's why we said that a chareshes is not going to be able to do chalitza, but that's only because she was a bekachas v'achil nescharsha. Our Mishnah, which says that she could do it, because we're saying one of the chareshes will exempt the other one with chalitza, it's called Tomat, she was always a chareshes, and therefore, just like she came into the marriage, was biramiza, so she could also leave biramiza. Now, on that interpretation of Rabbah, the Gemara says, Ayis ve'abaya. Abaya asked, v'chareshes mi'ikar bas chalitza, so you're saying that our Mishnah is different than that Mishnah, because here it's talking about that she was always a chareshes. So on that he's saying, is that really true, as the way you're trying to interpret for our Mishnah, that if she was always a chareshes, then she could do chalitza? But what's not, we learn the Mishnah later on, that says as follows, Shnei Achen, if you have two brothers, Echid Pikeach v'Echid Cheresh, one of them is fully competent, the other one is deaf-mute. So, Nisu Neshtei Nachriyas, they're married to two unrelated women. Achas Pikachas v'Achas Chareshes, one of them is a Pikachas, in other words, the Pikach is married to Pikachas, and the Cheresh is married to the Chareshes. Now, Meis Cheresh Baal Chareshes, if the deaf-mute who is married to the deaf-mute dies, so the question the Mishnah there says, Ma'yasa Pikach Baal Pikachas, what should the Pikach, who is married to the Pikachas, do? In other words, because he can't do Chalitza to her, because as we said, a Chareshes has limitation that she can't speak, so she can't fulfill the obligation of being able to have va'amra. So therefore the Mishnah says, you're right, you can't do chalitza. So rather kindness, what he could do, you have to do something, either yibam chalitza and you can't do chalitza, so you marry her. But if really did, he didn't really want her, so if he wants to not have their relationship, so afterwards then he's yaitzi, then he goes and he divorces her with a get. But what we see is because just like how she got married to her husband, the Cheresh, was biramiza, with some type of sign language, so too that's how she leaves, is biramiza, in other words, with the get, but essentially you don't need to have chalitza, that's the primary halacha, that's from that case. Mishnah continues, what's if the other way around? Mis pikech bal pikachas. Let's say the pikech, the fully competent one that's married to the one that has all her faculties intact, if he dies, question is, mayas Cheresh bal chareshes? What should the Cheresh, who's married to the Chareshes, do now that his brother's wife, who died without any children, is falling to him? Now the problem is because he can't do Chalitza. Just like we said, the female Chareshes can't. He can't because he can't fulfill Va'omar, the Pesukim he has to be able to say. So therefore, kindness, he has to go ahead and marry her. The only option you have left is Yibum. But he can never divorce her because his get, which will only be on the rabbinic level, because he's not fully competent as the pikach, that cannot revoke and undo the kiddushin of his brother that's a pikach, which is what makes the zika for him to do yibum. So he essentially takes over his brother's marriage. His brother's marriage is on a much higher, is on a biblical level versus his, which is rabbinic. His get cannot undo the yibum that he's doing, and since the only option is yibum, he has to marry her, and he can never get rid of her. He has to stay married forever. That's the Mishnah. Now, Abaye concludes his question to Rabbah. My love, b'chareshes mi'ikara, isn't the case talking about over here that we're talking about that she was always a chareshes? In other words, in the case of when the Baal Cheresh dies and you have the chareshes falling for the Bekeach, what did we say? Meaning that she was always a chareshes. V'ketani koinis in, what did it say? That the Yavam can go ahead and do Yibum. However, as we continue on Talmud Beis, but chalitz loi, but he cannot do chalitza. Why not? Because she can't recite the psukim she has to say. And yet, it doesn't indicate that it's only what's bekeach v'achkach nescharish, and therefore it would seem to be that even if she was always a chareshes, and yet still we see that you can't do chalitza, not like the way Rabbah had said. I think Gemara says loi. Rabbah answers, bekeachas v'achkach nescharish. That case, and that Mishnah told me that she was originally bekachas, and only later she became a chareshes. There is where we say that she cannot go ahead and do chalitza, but if she was always a chareshes mikara, then she would be able to do chalitza. So Abaye continues asking from that Mishnah. Toshima, in that Mishnah it says another case. Shnei achen pikchen, if you have two fully competent brothers that are nisu and shtei nachri is married to two unrelated women. Aches pikachas, vachas chareshes. One of the pikchim is married to a pikachas, and the other one's married to a deaf mute. Now, meis pikeach bal chareshes, if the one who's married to the deaf mute woman, if he dies, now the chareshes falls for the other brother, what should the other brother who's married to Bekachas do with this Yevama that's a Chareshes? So the Mishnah says, Koinis, he has to go ahead and marry her. As we said, he cannot do Chalitza because you can't do Chalitza Chareshes. Then writes, and after he's married to her, then if he wants to divorce her with a get, he can divorce her. Now, Meis Bekach Bal Bekachas, let's say the other way around, let's say that it's the one that's married to the Bekachas that he dies. So Mayasa Bekach Bal Chareshes, what should the Bekach who's married to the Chareshes do? So then, if he wants to do chalitza or yibim, it's a regular pikachas, a regular woman that's falling for him, you could do it as a regular case of yibim, either yibim or chalitza. Now, Abai concludes his question. My love, you can infer from this case of that Mishnah, miduhu pikach mikara, from the fact that when we're discussing the case of the pikach and the chareshes, the pikach was always a pikach, because that's the assumption that you don't become a chareshes and then you become back a pikach. So he was always a pikach. So it makes sense logically when we're saying in the same case conceptualization that he nami chareshes mikar. That means to say that the other component of their case with the woman that's the deaf mute, that she was also always a chareshes. Yet for ketani koinis in, but what do we see when the bekeach is coming to his yevama the chareshes? It says that he could only do yibum and chaylitz lai, but he cannot do chalitza. So you see, not like Rabba, even when you have that it was chareshes mikara, you can't do chalitza. And that Rabbah answered, Midiria, is that necessary like you say? Hakadisa, Vakadisa, no. When we're discussing the Yavam, the male component, he was always a Bekech. When we're discussing the female component, the Chareshes, could be she was a Bekechas and then became a Chareshes, and that's why he can't do Chalitza with her. But Abaye continues asking Esvei from that same Mishnah over there. And again, he's trying to prove that the case is talking about Chareshes Mikara, and if he does do that, then he's successful in disproving Rabbah, because then you'll see that you could only do Kenisa, Yibam, and you can't do Chalitza, even by Chareshes Mekar. So the Mishnah says another case over there. Shnei Achen, two brothers, Echad Pikech, Echad Cheresh, one's Pikech, one's a deaf mute. That are Nesun Shnei Achos, married to two sisters, Achas Pikachas, Achas Chareshes, one's a Pikachas, and one's a Chareshes. Where the Pikech married to Pikachas, and the Cheresh married to the Chareshes. So the Mishnah says, if Meis Cheresh Bal Chareshes, if the deaf mute that's married to the deaf mute woman dies, so mayas the bekeach ba bekeachas, what should the bekeach who's married to the bekeachas do now that he has yavam achareshes? So the Mishnah says, teitzei shemachaisisha. He's married to a full-fledged wife, and now it's her sister that's falling for yibim, whether she's achareshes or not, she's achaisisha, and therefore she doesn't have to have yibim or chalitza. But let's say it's the other way around. Meis bekeach ba bekeachas, let's say it's the bekeach who's married to the bekeachas that he dies. Mayas the cheresh bal chareshes. So what should the cheresh, who's married to the chareshes, do? Because his kedushin to his wife is only rabbinic, and now he has a zika from the sister. So his rabbinic marriage cannot say that there's achayis ishtei over here, and that she's not zakuk to him, because again he only has rabbinic marriage, and there's a biblical yibim over here. Moreover, he can't go ahead and do chalitza because he's a cheresh. So the Mishnah says what he has to do is Maitzi as Ishta Beget. he has to divorce his wife with a get. And the reason is, as we just said, because the zika of her sister, who's a pikachas, will make his wife forbidden to him. Because that's a full-fledged marriage. His marriage to his wife, the hareshes, is doubtful. It's only on like a rabbinic type of a level. And therefore, there's no authority in that kedushin to exempt the sister as if she's a chayis ishtay. So his wife is forbidden to him because his wife is a chayis ukukasay. Now, ve'eshes achav asur la'olam. However, his brother's wife is eternally forbidden to him. As Rashi explains, as we said before, a cheresh cannot do chalitza. Now, so he can't do chalitza, that's out of the equation. But he additionally cannot go ahead and then do yibum, because this that we said he has to divorce his wife, because she's a chayis ukukasay, that makes the yivama a chayis kereshasay, the sister of the woman that he divorced. And as we said, because there is somewhat of a marriage to a chareshes on some level, on some type of rabbinic level, and therefore it's not possible to do anything with the yavama. You can't do chalitza because he's a cheresh, and you can't do yibum because it's a cheskir shasai. Now, Rashi clarifies one thing that Abaye is going to try to prove in this case of the Mishnah. So he's not refuting Rava's din per se, because this is not comparable with Rava's logic that he introduced as a chiddush. Because here, Mikra Hadin, the cheresh can't do chalitza with the pikachas, because she was a wife of a pikach, which was a full-fledged marriage, and hence she has a full-fledged zika. Therefore, you can't say Rabbi's logic of was, just like she came in, that's how she could go out. That's not relevant to what was the primary chiddush of Rabbi. Rather, the reason why what Abai is going to bring this in for, what he's asking of Rabbi, is only to the reveal regarding the first two questions that he asked. He asked questions that you could see not like Rabbah. Now, on that Rabbah answered, no, those cases are not a raya, because they're talking about that they were, she was pekachas and then she became a chareshes. But what Abai is trying to prove from this case of the Mishnah, that you see that we're talking about cheresh and chareshes that are always always chareshes, because all the cases are going to be similar types of cases in that same Mishnah, which is on the Kofi Beis and Mebeis, with cheresh and pekachas. They have all these different computations. And therefore, if one of the cases is Chareshes Mikara, it would make sense that all of them are like that, and then he could go back to the original questions and thus say that it is Chareshes Mikara, and still you can't do Chalitza. Now, Abaye continues and thus concludes his question on Rabbah. He says, now, V'chi Tema, and if you're going to say regarding this case that I just brought you from that Mishnah, that Hachinami Pekech V'achich Nascharish, that it's talking about that he was originally Pekech, and then he became a Cheresh. In other words, for this case that we're discussing regarding what could this cheresh do with the pikachas, so he said he's in the quandary. If he was a regular person, that in other words a pikach, so then he can go ahead and do whatever he wants with the pikachas, that's the yavama. But he's a cheresh, so therefore he's limited, and moreover we said not only is he limited, but she's forbidden, the yavama is forbidden to him forever. Now, what is this case that he's a cheresh? If you're going to say that it means that he was originally pikach and then he became a cheresh, but mi matzi mapik, would then he be able to divorce his wife? Because the Mishnah said that besides his brother's wife, the Yavama, being eternally forbidden to him, but he has to be Moitzes Ishta Beget. He has to divorce his wife. Now, for the fact that it says that he divorces her with a get, sounds like meaning not that she's just forbidden for him, but that she'll be permitted to other people. But is that really so? If he had originally been a Bekeh when he married her, and then he became a Cheresh, could he then go ahead and give her a get to permit it to others? But Vatnan, we learn the Mishnah later on that says, if only Nischarsha, if his wife later on became a deaf mute, then Yaitzi, he could divorce her. If Nishtatis, if she was a full-fledged Pekachas when they got married, but then she became deranged, then Lo Yaitzi, then he cannot remove her from himself, from her husband. Now, although the halacha really is, you could divorce a woman whether she's willing or not, but the Rabbanan instituted Hakana that you cannot divorce a woman that became a shaita, that became deranged, because she doesn't know how to protect herself. And then other people are going to act inappropriately with her. So therefore, the Chacham said, once a woman becomes a shaita, you can never divorce her. However, if she became deaf-mute, then he could divorce her, because as we said before, you don't need a woman's consent for a get. And even a regular woman, a pekachas, you could divorce her even against her will. Now, regarding chareshes, the Rabbanan did not institute any takana because a chareshes knows how to safeguard herself. That's the first part of that Mishnah. But the Mishnah says, nischaresh hu, if let's say the husband became a deaf mute, or he became deranged, where when he got married, he was bekech, which was a full-fledged kedushin. But his gerushin is not with das, because the das is limited when you become a cherish or a shaito. Then the Mishnah says, lo yoytzei ilamas, so he can never divorce her eternally. So, therefore, we can't say that the case in that Mishnah of Kufyat Beis, of the case we just discussed, when the cherish is facing this yivamu pekachas, that he has to divorce his wife with a get, which sounds like, but that it will be a valid get, obviously he wasn't originally pekech and then became a cherish, because as that other Mishnah illustrates, that if you were pekech and then you became a cherish, you can never divorce. So rather, and this is part of Abaye's conclusion, so what do you have to say? That it's toman becherish mikari, where he was always a cherish, and therefore, just like, well, like a rabbi's svar, which is like kamaisha al kemaitzi, just like he was able to marry her even though he was a cherish, so then he could divorce her even though he's a cherish. But what we see from that is, from the fact that we see from that case in that Mishnah Daf Kofi Beis, that when we talk about him being a cherish, it means he was always a cherish. So he nami cherishes mikara. So the other women over there, when we're discussing cherishes, means to say that she was also always a cherishes. Now let's move on from case to case in that Mishnah. Now, from the fact that the case of the sisters are talking about that just like the male was a cheresh mikara, so too the one that was a chereshes, meaning his wife was always a cheresh mikara. So let's move on to the other case. So nachri is nami. The other two cases that we mentioned before, which Abaye tried asking a rabbah from, which was the unrelated women, when we say that they're cheresh, then obviously we would say that it's similar in the sense of they're also cheresh mikara. Because the cases are one case after another in that same Mishnah, would sound like we're talking about the same type of a case. V'tinan gabi nachrius, and what did we learn by that case of nachrius when they're unrelated women, which was what Abaye had really asked from before, koinus in, that then he could go ahead and marry her, choylitz loi, that then when she's a chareshes, he could not do chalitza, even though, as we just proved, it was talking about she was a chareshes mikara, and therefore that refutes Rabbah, who the way he resolved the kastira of the Mishnayis was talking about that it depends. And he said the chareshes mikara is the case of our Mishnah, that then you could do chalitza, and yet we see from that Mishnah Daf Kofi Beis, which is obviously talking about chareshes mikara, and you cannot go ahead and do chalitza. Now Rashi points out one thing, that those who ask these questions about why do you need so many steps, so many diukim, and to say, wait, from the fact that he's a cheresh, so must mean that his wife was also a chereshes mikara. Oh, and the fact that she's chereshes mikara, and in the other cases of the nachrius are also going to be, they say, what do you mean, just ask from one. For the fact that he's a cheresh mikara, so to the cases of the other chereshes of the nachrius are also talking about mikara, that they were always chereshes, and yet we see kindness in chaylitz lois, chereshes is not true. Because the cases of chereshes that are talking about where, let's say, he's a cheresh, which is the case that we started asking the question from, and the pekachas fell in front of him, where she was married to pekach, that was a biblical marriage with a biblical zika. Therefore, there you can't say, as we pointed out the same point from Rashi before, of kihechad al hochi nafak, that because that only applies by a case of when it's a chareshes. But regarding the case of chareshes, where you could say that, and still it says that the bikach could only be kindness and cannot be chaylitz, that's where the question is from. Therefore, we needed those steps to point out that he's a cheresh, then she's a chareshes, and then the case of nachrius, because they're fundamentally different, that, as we said, that the question is not so much from this last point of saying that he can't go out and do chalitza, because it was never that wouldn't apply for a biblical marriage. What we're saying is just that because if he's a chareshes mikara, so his wife was chareshes mikara, and therefore the previous cases were chareshes mikara of the nachris, where their rabbi's svar does apply, and yet still we see the Mishnah says that svar is not true, and that is even though they were chareshes mikara, which rabbi wanted to say kivin sha'al kein maitzi, still we see that he cannot do chalitza. So the Gemara records that ishtik. Rabbi was silent. He took the question. Now kiyas l'kamei Rabbi Yosef, but when Abaye, who he was the one that had asked this question to rabbi, came from Rabbi Yosef, somebody, Rabbi Yosef, said to him, "My time at Toys Vemeho, why'd you ask him from that Mishnah Daf Kofiyot Beis to refute him? Really, Rabbi could have answered you that Achoyis, by the case of the sisters, then Chereshes Mikar. That was talking about that, yes, since he was Cheresh Mikar, so the wife was also Chereshes Mikar. But Nachrius, from a previous case in that same Mishnah, He could have told you that, no, because they're near each other, that doesn't mean necessarily they're the same exact conceptualization when we mention a term with the same definition of chereshes, that it means, oh, there it's meikos, here also. No, he could have said to Mad that she was first bekachas and then nischarshu, and therefore they're not the same, and that's why you can't do chalitza. And therefore Rav Yosef tells him, Eli boyolach la'os ve'maha, you should have asked him from a different case in that same Mishnah. There the Mishnah says, Shnei achin chareshim, you have two brothers that are both deaf-mute, where that means their marriages are always going to be the same because a cheresh will only have a rabbinic type of a marriage. And therefore, it doesn't make a difference whether nisuin shtei achos pikris, whether they're both married to two women that are fully competent, or shtei achos chareshes, or they're married to two women, to two sisters that are chareshes, or shtei achos, or two sisters, achas pikachas v'achas chareshes, whether one is pikachas, one is chareshes. It doesn't make a difference because ultimately, any type of wife that each one is married to, they're going to have to marry with remiza, with sign language, because the two husbands are cheresh, so therefore it doesn't make a difference. They can't do speech, and they'll have to get married with remez anyway. Same thing is in the reverse. So too, two sisters, that both of them are deaf-mute, where again, they can only be married with remiza, so it doesn't make a difference who they're married to, whether it's nesuyis lishnei achin pikchin, whether the two husbands are fully or the two brothers are deaf-mute, or to two brothers that echad bekech and echad cheresh, one of them is bekech, one of them is cheresh, again, it doesn't make a difference. Both their marriages are going to be the same. Now, therefore, what the halacha is going to be is that the yevama is going to be excluded because she's a chayis ishta. She's his wife's sister. And therefore, so the Mishnah there says, so whichever one is the one that dies, the wife is going to be excluded because of achayis ishta, because they're both the same equivalent rabbinic marriage, and thus it's going to be at least rabbinic achayis ishta for each one, which is an erva, and therefore excluded from yibne chalitza. Now the Mishnah continues, but v'mhayu nachriyais, if the two men were married to two unrelated women, and then one of them dies, so then yichnaisu, then the second one should marry that other woman, where we said either way, she's not going to be able to have chalitza done with her, because whether tumat the two sisters are chareshes or the two men are a cheresh, either way, you can't do chalitza if you're a cheresh or a chareshes. So either way, you can't do chalitza, so you do yibum. And then then if you want a divorce, then you could divorce, because you could do a get. You just can't do chalitza, because chalitza has a requirement of amar over amar, which neither one in each case can't do. So that's what the Mishnah says about it. Now, Rav Yosef concludes his question on Rabbah. Now, hey, Chidami, what's that case talking about? If it's talking about where they were originally pikech and then only later became a cheresh, mi matzi mafki, would they then be able to give a get? Which we're saying that, oh, first they get married and then they go out and divorce. But Vatnan, we learned in that Mishnah over there that says, nishtatis lo yaitzi, as we mentioned this before, if she became a shaita later on, he cannot divorce her. If he became a cheresh or he became a shaita, lo yoytzi olam is, you can't divorce forever. Now, therefore we see that if he became a cheresh, he can't divorce. So how do we say over there by the case of when he's a cheresh, so he can't do chalitza because he's a cheresh, but okay, so he does, and then he divorces her, but we see that if it would be talking about a case of bekech v'achkech nischarish, he can't divorce. As we said, if only later he became a cheresh, he can't divorce. So elalav. So rather, what do you have to say? A cheresh mikar. It's talking that he was originally a cheresh, and therefore, since he was always a cheresh, so then that is something that he could divorce with a get. Now umedahein cheresh mikar. And the fact that we're saying in the same case when we mentioned in the male a cheresh, so ininam cheresh mikar. So that makes sense to say that the women were also always cheresh. Bekatani. And what we learn in that mishnah, hoyu nachriyis yichnaisu. So let's say in the case of when the females. So first we said a case of two sisters. Then we said, even if they're unrelated, but they're both chareshes, so we said that then the men, whether they're both pikches or one pikech, one cheresh, doesn't make a difference. You can't do chalitza to the woman because she's a chareshes, so we said, yichnoisu, you do yibum. The inference is, yichnoisu in, yachloitzu lo, you can only do yibum and not do chalitza, even though we just proved that the case is told about that the woman was always a chareshes. So that Rav Yosef says, to yufta de rabba, that refutes Rabbah, because Rabbah said, if you're chareshes and mikara, then you could go out and do chalitza. And the Gemara concludes, siyufta, that is definitely a refutation of Rabbah, where we see that his resolution of the two Mishnayos is incorrect, and that even if you were chareshes mikara, that won't work. You're not going to be able to do chalitza, and rather it must be as the first verse of the Gemara said, that the Mishnah v'chein shtei cheresh says is only going in the case of bia, of yibum. That is, the biyasa shalachas man is going to patter the other one, but chalitza is not going on the case of comparison of the ketamas yisaimis, because a chereshes, no matter when she was a chereshes, cannot have chalitza done. Now the Mishnah said, if you have two wives, one man had two wives, ketana v'chereshes, one of them was a minor, one of them was a deaf mute. So the Mishnah said that doing yibum with one of them will not exempt the other one. And that's because they're not the same type. Although they're both some type of a quasi type of a marriage, they're not the same type, and it's not clear which one is the one that's the primary wife. And therefore, the primary could exclude the secondary, but the secondary cannot do the primary, and therefore, one of their yibums will not exempt the other one. Now, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, Ashkechase l'Rav Ad Rahava, he says, I encounter Rav Ad Rahava, ul Rav Chana Chasne with Rav Chana, his son-in-law, diyasvi v'kumakavo akavasa, that they were sitting, and one interpretation Rashi means from the word of kivui, of like mikvah, which means to gather, that they had students surrounding them gathered together to hear their words, or it's actually from the word of keya kahasa, which means to say they were asking questions and responding in a debate one with the other. And they were doing this b'shuka de b'madisa, in the marketplace in b'madisa. V'amri, and they said, haditan, this that we learned, and they were discussing our Mishnah, ketana v'chareshes, when one man is married to a minor and a deaf mute. So the Mishnah said, "Ein bias achas men b'teres sarasa." So doing bia with one of them will not exempt the co-wife, meaning whether it's the ketana to the chareshes or the chareshes to the ketana. Now that they qualified this halacha, hanemili de nafalei ma'achiv pikech. That's if this one that died, who is married to this chareshes and ketana, he himself was a pikech. Delo yedinon, because then the reason why doing bia with one of them will not exempt the other ones, because we don't know ibiketana nichalei. Was his primary wife, the one that he really wanted, was the minor? Or Ibn Chareshes Nichle, or did he really prefer, as more superior of a wife, the one that was a deaf mute? So we don't know which was what primary, as the Gemara explains. When we talk about a Pikach, we don't know Ibn Ketana Nichle, did he prefer the Ketana, the minor, because the Asil Chaldea, ultimately one day she's going to become an adult, and she'll have her intelligence intact. And therefore, maybe that is the woman that he preferred as his primary wife. Or Ibn Chareshes Nichor, maybe we're not sure, maybe he preferred the one that was deaf-mute, because the G'day Lehi, right now she's an adult, Ubas Biyahi, and she's able to have cohabitation much more preferred than a minor. So we're not sure which one is the one that he preferred, and therefore, since we don't know, neither one could exempt the other one. Avo Nafla Ma'achiv Cheresh, but they said, if these two women fell in Yibum from the husband, who was a deaf-mute himself, on that they said, Vada b'chareshes nichali. And then for sure he preferred the deaf mute, and she's the primary one. Because then you have, first of all, the bas biyahi. Since she's an adult, she's more eligible for cohabitation. And moreover, bas minahi. She is from his same type. And he's a cheresh. He's definitely going to connect more with the chareshes, more than the minor. And therefore, essentially what they were saying was, in that case, if they do bia with the chareshes, it will exempt the tzara, the co-wife of the ketana. Now, that Amin Elahu, Rav Nachman says, I told them, Ano, that afilo nafle me'achiv cheresh, not true. Even if these two wives fell from the brother that died without any children, that was a cheresh, na mesafkale, it's not true. Still, that's still the same doubt of our Mishnah, because you still have the same thing that a ketana will ultimately be a bastas, and therefore maybe he's going to prefer that one, and therefore, no matter what the case, you can never do be with one to exempt the other. Which brings us to the Gemara's question. Keitza takanasam. Especially based on what Rav Nachman just said, what do you do in this case of the ketana and the chareshes? You said in the Mishnah that doing bia with one of them will not exempt the co-wife. Now, moreover, there are more variables here. The chareshes, as we just pointed out in the previous Gemara, no matter when she was a chareshes, you cannot do chalitza to her to say that, okay, so if one will not exempt the other, we'll do chalitza to both. You can't do chalitza to both because you can't do chalitza to chareshes. Now, if he's going to be miyam the chareshes, and then do chalitza to the minor when she becomes an adult, because you got to do something to both. But that's problematic, because then, when he ultimately does chalitza to the ketana when she becomes an adult, because he can't do it when she's a minor, then that's going to invalidate his marriage to the chareshes, because once you do chalitza to one, that makes shuv la yivna, you can't build anymore. Now, the reason why that could retroactively be a problem for the yivna he did with the chareshes is because the bia of the chareshes since it's on, it's not a full-fledged, because she's just a chareshes, that cannot reject the zika that's coming from the other one to say that, oh, nothing's after this bia, because again, that's not a full-fledged type of a bia because it's with a chareshes. So the question is, what do you do in such a case? So Rav Chizkiya Merav, he says, what you do to resolve the halacha of our Mishnah is he's kainas ha-chareshes, he does bia with the chareshes, and then umitziya beget, and then he divorces her with a get, again, like we said, because ultimately he's going to have to do something with the ketana. He can't do yibim because he already did yibim with one, so he's going to have to do chalitza with the minor when she becomes an adult, which then that's going to invalidate his bia he did with the chareshes. So he first does bia with her, and then he divorces her. And then you wait for the minor until she becomes an adult, and then you do chalitza.